Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 156.
Wait,
Tom.
156. Is this
Hang on a second. Does that mean
is this
one? Yeah, 52.
52
weeks a year. Three times three. This is the third year we're doing this. This is the third year anniversary of the Watchers.
What? No, isn't this? Doesn't that mean it's the fourth? Like we're going into the fourth year?
Oh, we're going into the fourth year.
Yeah, we've finished.
That makes sense.
We've clocked in 3 years of this bad boy. But it'd be more than that because there's been specials and things.
Oh yeah, there's at least 20 extra episodes with specials and whatnot. That's pretty impressive.
Well, 3 years of legit eps.
Yeah, there for sure. Go. We are so dedicated that we every single week we have thrown an episode out into the ether.
Oh, and most weeks we've recorded a backup.
Yes.
Haven't needed it, but it's there.
No, we've always got stuff as a just in case.
Yeah.
That's how we roll. Mm. We don't like anything to go wrong.
It's the weirdest suggestions we put in that one. There was that week we talked about favorite composting material.
I didn't know eggs were, yeah.
Yeah, we should go back to that paving chat we had. That was good.
That was good. And how to weed hot water, apparently.
Mm.
Very good.
Mm.
But let's not waste it for this.
No.
Let's not waste it here on the third.
This is the primo gear.
The primo gear where we forgot to do anything about it. We, however, do have a stellar episode. You've got a Tom appreciation.
I do.
Don't tell me who yet, though.
If for you to guess would be unusual.
Fantastic. We've been watching some stuff. I've been reading a bit.
Oh.
I've got a new book I want to talk about, which is really cool.
There you go.
Because it gets to this time of the year that
you're going to get given some books.
I'm going to get given some books and you're like, holy cow, I've got to read the backlog that I've already got.
Mm.
Get into it.
Backlog.
Yeah.
The bane of my existence.
Book backlog.
Yep.
Do you have a game backlog?
Yep. After all our gaming chat last week, I went and bought Assassin's Creed Valhalla and I haven't,
cracked
it open yet. I've been busy watching something over and over.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But Thomas found his new favourite for this year.
Mm.
It may change.
What about you? You got game backlog?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And it's mainly on the Switch and it's mainly because of Jasper.
Sure.
He's done this to it. Yeah, exactly. Mm. And I've played a little bit of some of them and absolutely none of others.
Well, that's how Switch works. You play a little bit and you go, that was enough, Luigi.
Yeah, that's a $10 game. Probably don't need to play anymore.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. The Bells and Whistles shop, Bells and Whistles, have sold out of all whistles and bells ahead of the Bells and Whistles parade this weekend. Store owners Beryl and William have said that they were shocked that almost the whole entire town have popped in to grab supplies. Well, not so much shocked, more perplexed, because surely everyone still has the Bells and Whistles from last year. Don't get them wrong, they are more than happy with this month's profits, but would love to know what the hell everybody did with their previous bells and whistles. They even made a trip to the Bells and Whistles dumping pit, but discovered no new additions to the pile that was created in 1961. So if you could pop into their shop sometime and shed some light, you're not in trouble or anything. It's just keeping them up at night, and if you can explain it to them, they would really appreciate it. 2B pencils are replacing 4B pencils in Watchersville Primary School classrooms. Principal Elise Keaton says that this will help with their yearly budget, as students were getting through the 4B ones way too fast. Some parents are up in arms about this, but that's only because they're those sorts of people. Alan White has declared he finally understands what the 1995 Oasis song Wonderwall is about. He said, without going into details, after 25 years of research, it's a bit of a letdown and he doesn't want to talk about it. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Let's crack into the news. Actually, you know what I'll do? If I do find a proper sound, I'll mix it in with my really bad.
Oh, nice.
You know Dan Stevens, the actor from Legion?
Yes. I was going to say he was in Beauty and the Beast.
He was in Downton Abbey too.
He was.
I didn't watch any of Downton Abbey.
Me neither.
but we know things.
Sorry, neither.
Yeah, that's right. So he, do you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about that show that's going to be on HBO Max, the animated show with Sophie Turner in it about the prince? And we all went, that's a bit weird. He's going to be the voice of a few characters. We've got Prince George. We've got Sophie Turner will be playing Charlotte, Princess Charlotte. That's the sister, right? There's actually more of them that I – there's more William and Kate kids than I thought there were because I stopped
paying attention.
No, there's like three or four, maybe three.
What?
Probably not four. Yeah, there's another one.
Where?
I think it's a boy. So maybe he's doing that voice. I can't remember. But, yeah, this show that seemed really super odd, it's by one of the Family Guy people. It's getting quite a cast. Orlando Bloom's in there. When I think of Alan Cumming, I imagine him first. I imagine an image of when I was in New York with some friends and we turned a corner. This is very New York. Turned a corner and there was a photo shoot and it was Alan Cumming leaning up against a brick wall with a pillow, like resting with a pillow up against his head. And I always think pillow guy, what's his actual name?
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? Like that memory comes before his actual name in my head. So weird. But he's going to be in it as well. So a big, like a cast of good actors.
I've got a lot of time for Alan Cumming. He's been in some great stuff.
For years too.
He was Nightcrawler, best version of him. And bloody Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, that's right. Who's the man? He wasn't in the Spice World movie, was he? I think that was Richard E. Grant.
That was, yes. And Meatloaf.
And Meatloaf.
They were the staff.
Yeah.
I had to watch Spice World recently. Well, some point in the last year.
How does it go now that...
Oh, it's awful. Yeah, it was awful back then, but it was awful now.
Because it was that kind of awful back then where it was awful, but the hype of Spice Girls made the audience forgiving.
Yeah, and everyone accepted the fact that they weren't actresses.
Mm.
They were just, you know... Something. Oh, it's so bad. But Shay got really into it.
How many times has Shay watched it?
Quite a few.
Okay.
I don't know. I leave the room.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. More people coming onto that show, it may end up being better than the trailer, which we watched, indicated. So,
nice.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, you're listening to We Are The Watchers.
John Mulaney, voice of Spider-Ham. Fantastic comedian, four-time host of Saturday Night Live. About a week or two ago, he was a guest on Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Yep.
And it went so well that he's joined the show as a staff writer. And the quote was, he's joined the show because he likes to work.
Oh, okay.
And at the moment, there's not a lot of work for you know, a touring comedian.
Sure.
So jump on there, write some jokes. And he's had his first segment, which... appears to it. I think his job is he just gets to write bits of stand up and then come and sit on the couch and deliver them to Seth and make Seth laugh.
That's a dream job.
Yep.
For a stand up comedian.
Sat on the couch and talked about ghosts and why we should pay more attention to ghosts if people think that ghosts played a role in this election.
I was about to ask you, I was about to say, do people think that, and I went, of course they do, this election's been mad.
That's
right. Of course
right.
People and are blaming ghosts.
But Ruth, you know, John McCain, a couple of people who had died and their states swung, things like this. So he went on a long rant about how it's inappropriate for people to doubt in ghosts the rest of the time, except for 1 week after an election.
So good.
He showed a lot of video footage proving his point.
So good, thumbs up for him.
Yeah, I reckon so.
It's going to sit, like they're going to sit well together.
Oh, look, Seth Meyers was his boss at Saturday Night Live. Yep. He was the one that hired him for the show and as a writer back in the day, this sort of stuff.
Almost a matter of time then.
Yeah.
That this was going to happen.
And it's hilarious because a lot of people will be like, wow, that's a step down. What a demotion. It's like, no, he just wants to work with his buddy. He's looking for something to do at the moment.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be forever.
He doesn't need to do Zoom comedy shows or something like a lot of comedians need to do.
No. Yeah exactly. Look, it's official now. Chris Pratt is going to be in Thor Love and Thunder. This makes sense because if memory serves, Thor was with the Guardians at the end of...
Endgame.
And filming's going to take place here in Australia in January. So I'm not sure where. I'm assuming it's somewhere in Queensland, but I'm also assuming that Chris Hemsworth is going to try really hard to get it about 5 minutes away from his place.
So it will be at Gold Coast, and a big part is, yeah, he does get to hang out at Byron, at least on the weekends and this sort of stuff. But, yeah, that's where Ragnarok was filmed, up at Movie World, and they're taking over there again.
I'm pretty sure I can imagine Natalie Portman and Tessa Thompson being totally fine with coming down here and not having to deal with huge coronaness.
Yeah, get through our quarantine and then you're good.
Yeah, especially Queensland.
Yeah.
Well, for now.
For now.
Numbers are near non-existent, which is great.
So keeping with the Marvel stuff, WandaVision, which they had said should be December this year.
But they got very quiet, didn't they?
They got very quiet. They've confirmed now January 15th.
Okay. That's okay. That's not that far. It's a month.
It's really not. Mm. And timing-wise, that means that there's only a few weeks between Mando wrapping up and then it kicking off.
Good.
Because I think the original plan was for it to launch like the week Mando wraps. Keep those subscription things going.
Yeah, that makes sense. But
they've got Soul, the new Pixar movie that's dropping for like Christmas, I think, maybe Christmas Eve or something like that, but that I believe that's coming for free.
Awesome.
And that's their big celebration. Like, here you go. Here's a nice big thing for December.
Yep.
And then January will be WandaVision.
But I'm not sure people are going to be up in, I mean, there will be people up in arms about this, but I don't think there will be, because what are you going to use Disney Plus for over December? You're going to use it for watching Christmas movies.
Yeah.
So watch those, then watch WandaVision.
That's it. Something to hang on. Look, if you do need something Marvel to watch on Disney, it hasn't dropped yet. It should be later this week, but there's a documentary series called Marvel 616. From what I understand, they never actually explain in the show what 616 is, but our universe, I think we're like 1238 or 1218 or something like that in the Marvel multiverse, where we live is that 616 is the main universe that you read about in the comics.
Sure.
And so it's also 616 is kind of what the movies are, but not quite. So it's more about the comic books and stuff. This is a documentary series. Each episode is directed by a different person that you probably know.
Kind of like The Mandalorian.
Yeah, but it's not a narrative thing. So that each one gets a documentary subject that they go, and it's something they care about, and they go and make something. So Gillian Jacobs from Community, she's got one episode, I think it's called Higher, Faster, Stronger, and it's about the importance of women at Marvel back in the day, and then a timeline of when female characters were created leading up to the, you know, I'm not sure which Captain Marvel it's going to be about.
Okay.
So I think it could be about a bit of both.
Right.
Paul Scheer.
Yep.
Comedian, he does an episode that's apparently about very obscure B grade to D grade or lower characters. Yeah, it's a really eclectic mix of people. And the one that I'm really hanging for is one of the episodes apparently is just all about the 60s Japanese Spider-Man show. Spider-Man. and the more I can find out about that, the better, because that show is crazy.
It had real monkey magic vibes to it.
Bingo. They had no budget. He rode around in like a robotic sphinx. It was the weirdest, like it was nothing about Spider-Man other than the suit and the name. And
did he do any web stuff, do you know?
There was bits and pieces of web, but it wasn't like he shot webs and stuff.
Yeah,
it was more that he
wouldn't have had the budget for it.
No, it was more that he was like a Power Ranger. So weird.
Great show though.
So,
well,
yeah.
At least the trailer was on TV, I was going to say YouTube.
Yeah, wow. Marvel 616, I believe, is dropping later this week. I'm not sure if it's the whole season at once or one episode at a time, but I will be diving into that one. Pretty cool.
You know, I'm not adverse to a one episode at a time kind of thing, because it helps people be able to chat about it. Because, you know, when for example, let's just do the Stranger Things, right? Stranger Things. I don't want to watch that all in one weekend. I want to take a few weeks to get through that. But I can't talk to people about it because half the people have already watched it. So I like this Mandalorian kind of – it's old school.
You know I like the single episode thing because I've lost. You've got to have the time to digest,
absolutely,
discuss and –
Absolutely. Mm. Talking about old school TV, Alec Baldwin and Kelsey Grammer are going to star in a new multicam comedy for ABC over in the US. It doesn't have a name yet, but it's been signed for a whole season, as in it's not just pilot. It's about three blokes who were roommates when they were younger, but they all had really huge egos, so kind of like Kelsey Grammer and Alec Baldwin. So what kind of character do you want us to play? Oh, just be yourselves.
We're looking for a Kelsey Grammer type.
Right. So, yeah, three blokes. They haven't announced who the third actor's going to be, but I'm assuming it's going to be similar sort of – oh, can you imagine the set?
If I wanted to stir those two up, my third recommendation would be Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, they would not go – yeah, they would not go for that.
I would love to see Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch would be brilliant.
Yeah, gender swap a character.
Yeah.
But she would hold those two in line.
She'd have no time for their shenanigans.
Why am I thinking we've got to think of a third egotistical older male of that age? I hate myself.
Who?
Jim Belushi.
See, I hated myself more because I said in my brain said Tim Allen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurt.
I'm sorry about that.
Let's keep going with it. Let's make this more painful. What about Richard Dean Anderson today?
Okay, what about Dean Cain?
Oh, he's yeah. I think I'm about to Scott Baio.
Oh, I'll see you, Scott Baio. I'm going to raise you a John Voight. I think we've done it. That's as far as we can go. So that show will be around in the 2021-22 season for ABC over in the US.
Martin Short, but maybe even doing the Jiminy Glick character in the fat suit.
Make him as annoying as possible. Not for the audience. He's going to be brilliant for the audience because he's going to make them so annoyed. What about he's not as bad, but what's his name? From Hitch, not Will Smith.
Kevin James, he was in my mind, but he's Adam Sandler's age.
Yeah,
I think he'd be too young for that mix. If you wanted to add a bit of grace, because you've got Kelsey Grammer who's going to be a snob, you've got Alec Baldwin who can play classy and sophisticated,
but he's always angry.
If you wanted to redeem this, if you wanted to pull it back very quickly from the edge, Hugh Laurie. Or Stephen Fry.
Stephen Fry in a US multicam sitcom.
Out geniusing Kelsey Grammer.
Not even having to struggle with that either. That's an interesting lineup now.
Yeah, brought me back around to, okay, we'll stay tuned for who gets announced for that third chair.
Interesting, because that's the decider, right?
Yep.
It really is.
Oh, imagine if it was Michael J. Fox.
No, he's too nice.
That was a weird pleasure sound from you then. No one else got to see your face go with it, but I was like, oh, okay.
He's just very solid in everything he does. Speaking of people who are solid in stuff.
You know what I was about to say, didn't you?
Yes.
Did you set it up on purpose?
No.
Showing, shibby, and somebody stop me. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So The Crown's out again, right?
Yep. And is it season four?
Four, yeah. So people are first seeing Gillian Anderson as Margaret Thatcher, proper.
Right.
And people are very conflicted because they love Gillian Anderson, her performance is brilliant, but they don't like Thatcher. Mm. Yet because Gillian Anderson is playing Thatcher, they're weirdly attracted to her.
Mm.
And people on Twitter, they don't know what's happening to themselves. I think it's very funny.
There's going to be a lot of porn parody.
Yeah, there probably will
Margaret
be.
Snatcher.
There probably already has been.
There would be.
So if you get a chance to just have a hashtag search of Gillian Anderson and The Crown, there are some very funny tweets out there at the moment. Very funny.
People dealing with some conflict.
Yeah, and being very – there's nothing like a perfectly written tweet. You just go, that was – I'm going to slow clap you in a golf clap way. Very good.
Fair. So this is my last bit of news, but then I've got one little shout. Anyway, so the Suicide Squad, which is completed filming, but they've been doing some post-production and stuff. Stallone has joined it.
In post-production?
Yes.
So is he just lending his voice?
I believe it'll be a small role. Maybe we'll see him die horribly very quickly or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's the nature of this film. But it continues. He did a very similar thing for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 with James Gunn, where he...
I do not remember him. I do.
So,
yes.
Yeah, it was just a tiny role, potentially setting things up for further down the line. But on the other hand, it might have just been a very cool cameo and they wanted to show a different team and he was available.
Mm.
Who knows? He might just really like James Gunn.
I reckon he's just having fun.
He's
a big enough superstar to, and also like he'd be in his mid to late 70s, right?
Yeah. So and he's not going to get a Marvel or DC franchise of his own.
So he can just jump in and out of, you know, big things, small like small cameos, and have a lot of fun.
Yep.
He doesn't need to prove anything anymore. He's done that. Oh, that's fun. It'll be interesting to see exactly where they take him. That's really cool. I just got one quick one for reality show fans. So on E, there's going to be a show with Andy Cohen, of course. He's going to be hosting it, called For Real, The Story of Reality TV. So what they're going to do is every episode, they're going to focus on a big or, you know, an old reality show that once was and focus on, like, the dramas that happened or like the big stories that happened.
Oh, so Survivor might be like a deep dive on what Richard Hatch did to the reality television format.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's going to be.
He might have been the first person to ever say the phrase, "I didn't come here to make friends."
Of course. And then you look at other shows like a year or two after that. I'm thinking like Top Chef, like the very first episode of Top Chef when they're introducing the chefs, there was one of them that said word for word that.
Sure.
And back then you would have gone, "Oh, she's so hardcore." And now you're like, "Oh, she's just one that annoying person." Yeah. So it'll be interesting to revisit stuff that made such big news back in the day that we've all forgotten about.
Are they episodes specifically focused on shows?
Yeah. So one episode will be, you know, like America's Top Model when something dramatic happened, or a Real Housewives when they went to jail. You know, that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, not Lost, but Survivor. But yeah, I think you'll be able to pick and choose which ones interest you.
Yeah.
And dip in and just be like, I didn't know about that, because they'll be talking to producers and contestants who were on back then. It sounds really interesting.
Peek behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Well, that ties into my last one.
Yes.
Which is just a nothing thing, but iTunes for some reason uploaded, I don't know if it was early or what, but as part of the Eric Andre season 5, they've uploaded a behind the scenes video, like an 11 minute, here's how the show is made. And they've never, ever revealed anything of how the show is put together and this sort of stuff. There's never been behind-the-scenes footage or bloopers, outtakes, nothing.
So do you think that they always had the intention to do this?
Yeah, it's kind of like a little mini doco, and they've put it together this season. But it was really, really interesting in a show that's all about uncontrolled chaos as to how much of it is actually really tightly scripted, and the only things that they don't control is the celebrity reaction.
So how much have you watched it?
Yes.
So do they – how much is in the editing at the end? Do they go into that?
So there's a fair bit of that, but like – so every episode has a different intro, and it always feels like the same intro, but there are elements that change around and things of him smashing up the set, and it's different every year.
Yeah.
What they do. Like, he changes his look every year. This year he's put on a ton of weight, shaved himself completely bald, spray tans every evening, and has had his teeth whitened. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. But this intro that they do, it reveals that they spend almost 4 solid days each season just filming him getting hurt. And, you know, one of them, it's him climbing up a bookcase. The bookcase falls on him and smashes him in the head. And he has a safe word that means I need to go to hospital. And he like says it real quietly and they take him off and he has a concussion and this sort of stuff. They have to pause filming and all.
Oh my goodness.
It's a real thing. And so Jackass was always playing up the fact that this is real. Mm. These guys are getting hurt for real.
Mm.
Where they do it on this show in such a heightened way that it feels like they might be faking a lot of it. But this kind of shows that, no, this dude's just really, really committed on like an Andy Kaufman level to producing the weirdest, best thing, you know. He doesn't want to phone it in at any time. It was really, really interesting. And I didn't put that with the watching recommendations because it's not something you can, I would say, go and watch.
Yeah, you have to have watched. Yeah. You've got in to, order to find it interesting.
Yeah, you've got to appreciate kind of what this guy does.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy Borat and that sort of hidden camera prank stuff, peeking behind the curtain as to how it's put together, they go through like a lot of the steps for one of the pranks, which is he's made up in a park bench costume, like with billboards, like a bus stop.
He's dressed
bench.
As that.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a bench, and he's inside it, but there's a face hole cut out and spots for his hands, and it's built with a harness so he can stand up and move around and move the bench, and people sit down in there, and he's got his eyes closed and with makeup on and stuff, and then he'll just start talking to them and offer to come and help them with their chores or things. And it's such a dumb throwaway bit, and it lasts for 40 seconds on the show.
Mm.
But it shows how much work went into doing this.
Someone had to make that as well.
Making it, the writing it, the getting approvals, the hidden cameras everywhere that needed to be done, the fact that there's a director with an earpiece feeding him lines from outside because he can't – he's got that much vision, he can't see what's going on. So he's like, lead with asking about a sister and like whispers that. So the guy can just go, where's your sister? And – someone else has just walked off. So it's like, how did he know
that
stuff? Amazing. Yeah. Really, really cool.
Well, you did mention the fact that we were going to do some watching suggestions. So why don't we do them?
Before, though.
Yes.
You've forgotten.
Oh, sorry.
We get to have a little sing song because it's time
for
once again for the Tom appreciation segment.
Very nice. I don't know how I forgot that, so I was so excited at the beginning of the episode to do it.
We were barreling. That's why.
We're on a roll.
We were barreling, right. And I Mario'd us over a barrel.
That's right. Jumped. Thank you.
This week, I want to talk about Tom Jones.
Oh, that's not unusual.
Yes, it's not. Only very briefly, we've been binging a whole ton of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air at home because the reunion special is happening very soon. And Shay has gotten really invested in the show. So on Sunday, she got to stay home and watch Fresh Prince for a lot of the day. Well, she did chores and got her things done and stuff. But it made me realize just how often they had Carlton dance to It's Not Unusual, because I'd forgotten that it happens a couple of times. And then at one point, he has a full dream sequence with Tom Jones, and they make Tom Jones sing alternate lyrics that he's clearly not into for It's Not Unusual.
Because you always think about the Carlton dance. Just do.
Yes.
And I assumed, having not watched it for years, that as the seasons went on, the more he did it.
Yes. It gets Urkeled.
Yeah.
It happens a few times. But yeah.
So how far into it did Tom Jones appear season wise?
It's just been on. It's always on. I don't know. I don't know how many seasons there are or how many episodes are in each season because, like, okay, so Aunt Vivian has just changed.
Okay, yep.
Which I'm like, is that at the end of season two? Is that at the partway through season three maybe?
The first Aunt Vivian is not happy with the show.
No, but she's coming back for the reunion.
Is she really?
Yes, that's where the trailer reveals. Oh. Will does a big, brings her in.
Wow, okay. That's interesting because she said some things.
That's right, and that's her whole appearance in the trailer is like, okay, it's time to maybe try and mend some burnt bridges.
From 1990 to 1996.
That's how long it was on, or that's how long she was on?
That's how long it was on.
Okay, so six seasons. There's a lot. The other thing that I had forgotten is Will is a scumbag.
Yeah.
If you watch it through the lens of today – in the same way that people are finding The Office difficult to watch, go back and watch The US Office. They're like, Michael Scott is a terrible person.
But he always was.
He always was. But back then it was just like, oh, he's a buffoon.
Sure.
Whereas, like, Will manipulates a woman into thinking they're married, gets Jazzy to officiate the wedding, and Jazzy has tricked the actual priest to leave by saying a building's on fire somewhere else. You need to go and do that.
Wow, okay.
all with the intention of sleeping with this woman. And then when Will finds out she's a virgin, it's only at that point does he feel guilt and confesses what he's done.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so 90s.
It's so 90s. And like it's played for, that rapscallion Will. He's always up to mischief. But you watch a lot of this stuff, you're like, far out.
That's really interesting.
He's a manipulative son of a bitch.
But also like the whole beginning of Fresh Prince, like the theme song itself sets it up that he's a naughty boy. He gets sent away from his home because he's so naughty. They've got to put him right.
And he's just, oh, man. So you always think of Uncle Phil. Okay. You always think of Uncle Phil as a great TV dad. But when you watch it again, he is an amazing TV dad because the shit he puts up with from Will.
Yeah.
And when you're young, you watch it and you're like, oh, Uncle Phil, settle down. And then now watching it as an adult, I'm like, he's always right.
Yeah.
His children are shit.
Yeah. Oh, the youngest girl wasn't too bad, was she?
She
gets a bit naughty.
Yeah, she gets influenced by Will.
Okay.
She's not as bad as Carlton's always just worried about his trust fund.
That's right. And the older the older girl.
We've had this whole storyline with dating Trevor from the TV when she works as a weather girl. And Trevor's the news reporter, or the newscaster, whatever.
Wow, okay. There's a lot that I don't remember. I don't think I watched it religiously. I think it was the show that was on, so you watch it when it was on.
I was the same. I didn't watch it religiously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all this stuff, and it's just weird watching it through a lens of today. So Tom Jones, sorry, that was a rambly Tom appreciation. It was great that – He stooped down to appear and make fun of himself.
He's a bit of fun, I reckon.
I think so.
I really do. All right, now it's time for watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Okay, so I've watched a lot of stuff over the past few months, and because we've had different guests.
Yes.
I've always just gone, aware of time, let them do theirs.
Right.
I'll say one or two, which means we've got a bit of a backlog.
Wait, do you want to press the fire sale button? Are we having a fire sale?
Is it okay?
Press it.
Okay. Okay, first off, ages ago, I watched that movie Lady Bird.
Yes, with Saoirse Ronan.
The Irish girl.
Yes.
And Aunt Jackie from Roseanne.
Hmm.
She's the mother. Very interesting.
Katie Metcalf?
Yes, Metcalf.
Lauren.
Laurie Metcalf. Laurie.
Like, Katie Metcalf is a girl I went to school with.
Oh, okay. I do that kind of. That's a Leah thing. Very interesting mother-daughter thing, situation. Very interesting story there that watching it not as a teenager, you realise how horrible teenagers can be to their parents.
Sure.
And you don't realize as at that age, because your brain's not right, is it? Like
no.
You've got teenage stuff going on and, you know, maybe don't push away the people closest to you. Yeah. It was I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I thought in my head it was a really heavy movie. Mm. And whilst it kind of was, it also wasn't at the same time. It was, yeah, I found it charming.
Charming.
A charming movie. Watch Cable Guy again.
The Cable Guy.
Yes. If you needed to remake that, because you know how they're remaking stuff all the time.
Yes.
You would make him the internet guy.
Sure.
But yeah, creepy from the second. That's the first time I've watched it since. So it was the second time I watched it.
I don't know if I have watched that a second time.
I didn't really enjoy it the first time.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll give it another go. And I didn't really enjoy it the second time either for the exact same reason. Oh. He's just a bit creepy.
Yeah.
He's doing that voice, you know.
I don't think – he hasn't played too many creepy roles. He's been bad a
couple
of times.
That was his creepy. Yeah. That was his creepy role. Yeah, I didn't – you don't need to watch it.
Okay.
I saw Dirty 30. I think it was on Amazon Prime. Was made a few years ago. It had that. Did you ever watch that YouTube channel? I think it was called drunk cooking or cooking whilst drunk, and it was
Memory Heart?
Heart. And I remember watching that a few times because it was quite funny, you know, like it was edited in an enjoyable way and it was really quick, and she never actually cooked anything in the end, I don't think. Anyway, she would sometimes have a couple of friends over to do drunk cooking with and they're in the movie. It was a really super light, funny movie, kind of along the lines of what was that movie, the Booksmart kind of movie, but The Party. So, you know, the party.
Yes.
It was that. It was fun. It was fine. I didn't know it existed. I enjoyed it.
Nice. Dirty 30.
Last one I'll crack into before we actually talk about proper stuff. Unwell was a show that came out probably a few months ago on Netflix, and it was about people looking for alternate ways to, like, medication or whatever. And I got through one episode. I went, I don't want to watch it anymore. Then felt bad. I thought, no, I should probably watch another one so that I can talk about it. Mm. And I got through half of that and went, I really don't want to watch this show.
Is it depressing or manipulative or what?
Yes to both of those. And I'm just not that person.
No.
So I don't know why I was inflicting myself on watching it. I wasn't interested.
Was it annoying that it was giving airspace to things that aren't real?
And
Because I know you don't like watching shows about Bigfoot.
Bigfoot? I've got no time for Bigfoot.
But, you know, that.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, absolutely. And also watching it when we're in the middle of a pandemic and hearing stuff from the internet that are like, oh, it's not real, it's 5G and all that. I'm like, I've got no time for this show because of this.
Yep.
This environment that we're living in.
Hey, did you see Pete Evans is getting cancelled?
I thought he was already cancelled.
They tried so many times.
But this sounds like the cancel, right?
Yeah, he's crossed over into like posting neo-Nazi crap.
The Sun. Yeah, that was. Whew. Yeah, so those are just some quick rapid fire stuff before.
Do you have anything else?
Yes.
If we're pressing okay. The fire sale button.
Okay. Well, this one I didn't mention because I don't remember what it was. I think it was a movie. It was called Otherhood, and I don't think I liked it.
Fair.
Or else it was just fine. I got no recollection of where it was. Have been about 6 months ago was playing both versions, like the Sonic Mania and also Sonic Forces, and enjoyed both of them. Me and Tidy were playing them because we always used to play Sonic when we were kids.
Sure.
Always really enjoyed it. Now find the Sonic Mania super hard, but the Sonic Forces way easier.
Wow, okay.
I think games were less forgiving back in the day.
I agree. I don't have the reflexes that I used to either.
We're stuck like zone four or something.
I think as well, we have so many more buttons now.
Yeah,
there's
true.
So much more control that we have that it's split, whereas it used to be you had trained left thumb, right thumb.
And your thumbs would get sore.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Weren't no side buttons.
No.
Definitely not any back buttons.
No. Do the new – oh, we don't know. I was going to ask, do the new consoles have the back buttons?
They would.
I don't know. So those are like my rapid fire stuff because honestly, I don't remember what Otherhood was. But I finished a book this week because I was talking about how it's getting to that stage of the year where I have a backlog.
Yes.
And also I set on Goodreads that I was going to read 20 books this year. I'm up to 18. I was halfway through.
Oh, bring it on home.
I know, but the problem is halfway through The Stand, which is, 1,000 pages?
Yeah. That's like the short version, I think.
It's more. I got the long one.
Yes, I know you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to get through that. I need to find other books. So a great book, Australian, by Ronnie Scott, set in Melbourne, called The Adversary. And it's about this character who he's a quirky bloke, but you can also see a little bit of yourself in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives with his best friend, like they're roommates, but they've known each other for years and years and years. They're both gay. And there's no sort of relationship between the two of them, but his friend has quite a serious relationship with another guy. And the main character doesn't want to let go of the world that they have at the moment.
Sure.
But it was his friend obviously moving to the next step. And, yeah, it's set over probably a summer, if that. And it just flies by. Very easy, enjoyable read. There are quirky, funny bits in it. There are some real bits in it. And So, for example, everybody wanted to go to the pool, which is where, like, the gay scene within the book, I don't know if it's real or not because I don't know Melbourne that well, but you go there to be seen. It's like the place to be seen. He doesn't want to do it, but he goes along anyway and doesn't enjoy it the whole time. And I'm like, I remember when I was, you know, like young and having to go out and I just be like, I don't want to go here, but I should because I don't want, what if I miss out on something? And then I go along to wherever we've gone. I'm like, I don't like this. I don't want to be here. So, yeah, a good book, The Adversary by Ronnie Scott.
Very nice. You and I read very different things.
Well, I like to read a whole heap of different things.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, I will,
it's good.
I will read my post-apocalyptic stuff. That's the stuff I really like. Say,
I've been reading a book about a witch, a female, like a witch hunter in the future and in space 40,000 years in the future. And she's hunting a heretical psychic priest who's taken over a planet of robotic servitors. Who cares?
Are you listening or are you reading to it?
I'm reading it.
You're reading the book to itself.
I'm reading it. It's another Warhammer book.
Okay.
They're good. They're pulpy and trashy reads, but they give good inspiration when I'm doing painting and stuff.
Well, that's all you need.
That's all I need.
Well, my reading list is really super eclectic. Like, I've read that. I've read some murder mysteries. I've read Dark Matter, which was all about multiverse and getting stuck in the multiverse. But every time you change from one universe to the other, you've split. So there's now two of you and there's two of you. But what happens if you all think you're the same person? What happens if you all assume you're the original version of yourself who is entitled to go back to the original universe? And then there's suddenly thousands of you running around trying to kill each other.
Sure.
That's prime... called Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. That was really good.
Nice.
Very good.
I enjoy that sort of story. There's an X-Men character named Jamie Madrox, the Multiple Man, and he has a similar type thing. Anytime he's hit, even if he taps his foot or something like that, he can split and make a duplicate of himself. Not across universes and stuff like that, but there.
Because there is a version of him that didn't hit his foot.
That's right. Mm. And there is a prime Jamie, but there's ongoing stories all the time about which one is the actual, because does he hide himself away and create a false prime? What happens when one of these primes creates their own life? One of them becomes a priest and lives away from Jamie for 15, 20 years and has his own life. And then there's, you know, if he touches them, they get sucked back in and he gets their memories and stuff back. And so it becomes, is he a murderer if he's taking these people back when he's given them life? I like that story.
Yeah, it was heady a bit, stuff. It is heady and it was a little depressing because they all genuinely assumed they were the first one.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that was depressing. Well, one thing that wasn't, then one thing that was. So I've talked about how much I'm enjoying the new version of Top Gear. Those guys work together really well. This week was the last episode of this current season, but oh boy, it had a segment I really enjoyed. They were trying out the latest electric cars, little tiny hatchbacks and stuff, a mini, like an electric mini.
Cool.
It was very, very cool. And they had a race through Alton Towers, which is a theme park in the UK that is kind of like what Wonderland used to be for us. Lots of themed lands spread really wide across. It's on beautiful old historic grounds. Alton Towers is an actual castle, and this theme park was built on the lands of the castle. And during Halloween, the castle gets used as a haunted maze. It's awesome. I love this place. Every time we've gone over there to visit Lindsay's family, we've gone.
Whereabouts is it?
It's about 45 minutes, maybe an hour from Nottingham.
Okay.
So Midlands kind of area. And it's the place that, I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago there was a pretty horrible roller coaster accident on a ride called the Smiler, where one car crashed into the front of the 1-4. And anyway, they do a race through there. And because it's been closed for the pandemic, they were able to move everything around and set things up to be a proper racetrack for them, and it was awesome. It was such a good advertisement.
That sounds like, you know, all of those fantasy movies about kids or teenagers get stuck in the mall at night. Like, it's that kind of thing.
One of them literally says, this is my 12-year-old self's dream.
Yeah.
As he's driving across one of the bridges and getting air, he like looks out the window and just smiles at the camera like, I'm so happy. And then the flip of that, that was so awesome. The flip of that, the thing that I mentioned was disappointing, is James May has a new show, which sometimes can be great. Sometimes it's about inventions or tiny things or toys or things that are, you know, very specific. He's learning to cook. He's dragging us along with him. And the show is called Oh Cook, which I'm sure he thinks is very funny because his catchphrase on Top Gear used to be, oh, cock.
Oh, okay. So what is he doing? Is he getting different UK chefs to?
No, it's just him in the kitchen and I assume what might be his wife or partner or just a producer or someone standing slightly off screen giving him advice. And it's as painful as, like, I don't understand. There's been a bunch of new shows of celebrities learning to cook. Look, Amy Schumer is on season 2 of one. Selena Gomez has one.
I was thinking Jon Favreau after he did that movie.
Sure,
and
chef.
Then he went on to do the TV show.
But that's a bit different because that's touring, visiting different chefs, spending time with them. He'd already trained to be a chef. This is literally Amy Schumer looking at, you know, she's in lockdown home life. Well, I don't know anything about cooking, but thankfully my husband does, so he's going to teach me some tricks. Come along. What? I don't get what, like, it's a new format that has sprung out of 2020 out of necessity, of course. But holy fuck, I don't enjoy it. And I gave Amy Schumer one episode and that was awful.
I didn't even know it existed.
I'm not bothering with Selena Gomez's one. And yeah, I did one of James May and it was about making pub food. Would you think, like, I'd like to know pub food. I've gotten into cooking a lot more during this period. I made Philly cheesesteaks last week.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. But no, watching someone else who doesn't know what they're doing but thinks they're very charming about it is not enjoyable. Now, if Sam Rockwell,
oh, we'd watch
did
it.
One, we different would watch story.
It. Yeah,
it's. So I think it's entirely dependent on who the celeb is, and once they find the right person for me,
yeah,
I'll be into the format.
Yeah,
but boy,
yeah, I see what you mean. It was a bit hard going.
Oh, he's yeah.
How many episodes did you give? Just one?
Oh, I don't think I even made it to the end of the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, right.
And they're like 22-minute episodes, yep. And it was just. If I want to watch that, I'll watch Nat's What I Reckon, like the funny guy on Facebook.
Yeah. Don't you love it when people try and explain to you who that guy is?
I know.
As if no one's ever seen him before.
I know. It's like you realize he's been around for like 10 years. He's old school.
Yeah. Very funny.
He actually started before the show I want to talk about.
Oh, what show are you talking about?
Oh, you want to dive into it?
Yeah.
Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1.
Oh, boy. So it took a long time. And I didn't know this was coming because they've kept it secret for 2 years. But I've been waiting for what would be this year's version of last year's Lonely Island.
And you got it.
And I got
but
it.
But you got six episodes instead of a special.
On Netflix of Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun. Woo boy, woo boy. Now, I am hoping that the algorithm that all our wonderful listeners has already presented to them. But if you don't know, Auntie Donna are an Australian comedy troupe from Melbourne,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, from Melbourne. There's three guys that appear on screen, Mark, Zach and Broden. But there's also a director, there's a writer, editor and a composer. Who does all their music.
Makes sense. There's a lot of songs.
Yes. And these guys have been tight since uni. I think they went to Ballarat or somewhere like that.
Yeah, right, okay.
And have been ripping up the comedy scene here since like 2012 or something like that. And they went across to Edinburgh and they've done shows there. They've done a couple of showcase tours over in the States and this sort of stuff. They've done various bits and pieces for Australian TV, but they're mainly known for their YouTube work here. Mm-hmm. And they've absolutely crushed on the videos and done some amazing stuff. And everyone's been wondering, when are you going to do TV? When are you going to do TV?
Well.
And so, yeah, they got this deal with Netflix like 2 years ago and kept silent about it. And even, you know, it's produced by Scott Aukerman, who's the host of Comedy Bang Bang. And he was one of the main writers on the Mr. Show back in the day. And, you know, he's alt comedy royalty. The Ed Helms is the other executive producer. Like the caliber of people behind the scenes on this is impeccable to launch it into America and make it really big. And yeah, they filmed it over in LA last year. I think they've done bits and pieces to add to it this year and stuff. But like they kept it secret for so damn long.
Mm.
And it is so good.
Even the trailer that we watched a few weeks ago was funny.
It is one of the most – it's really difficult to try and talk about it here because it's very subjective. Your mileage may vary. I'll say that straight up. It's absurdist, surrealist humor.
Yeah, so it's a combination of what I – so for me, like I know of them, but I don't know them as well as you do.
Sure.
So this is my take on it. It's a mix of stuff that I can tell that they've done on stage that has worked, or maybe it's been in their videos.
Yep.
It's set in a house, and that to me has the dynamic and feel of The Young Ones a little bit.
Yep.
So it's got that kind of Young Ones weird humor. Less messy though.
Yeah.
More edited and random, which I really enjoyed, the randomness of it. You, as long as you know you're going to be watching something random and you've just got to go along with it, it's really funny.
I kind of think of it as a slightly more good-natured Young Ones.
Yep.
If it was hosted by The Lonely Island.
Yeah.
Because they have so many songs and great, like really great music stuff throughout. Some proper earworms. Mm. I've been running around screaming, "Everything's a drum."
Well, that's how it starts, right?
It
that's
is. The it first is. Episode. And I've had that song in my head for years because they've been doing that live for a long time. But oh my god, it's so good. And then. I know you haven't got through all of it yet. I've almost finished the whole lot for a third time. It came out on Friday.
And that's crazy.
So I've been going through a lot.
It's awesome that you like it so much.
I really want to talk to you about having a cheeky little pud. Oh, Zachy. Zachy, what are you doing? I'm having a cheeky little pud. There's a bit where they go for a midnight snack and what they're looking for in the fridge. It's just so funny. It's so dumb. But at the same, like, these guys really clearly understand sketch format and how to mess with it. But they've also watched the greats. And so having the guy from Mr. Show involved means that, so yeah, they live in a house. There's three characters. But it's not like Always Sunny where they're really defined characters. The three guys can swap and bounce up and down where their character needs to go.
I'm the ridiculous one in this 30 seconds.
That's it. And it's literally just a set, a place for them to use. But they stitched everything together so there is a narrative that goes on and it breaks. It doesn't even break the fourth wall. There is no fourth wall. So there's moments where
they literally wander out of the set to throw a ball around.
Yeah.
With
free time.
Yeah, with themselves, Ed Helms, a couple of policemen, and then a pirate walks in.
Yep.
And that's the end of the episode. I enjoyed the bit about the Ellen DeGeneres thing where, like, he gets called up and he's like, one of them is playing Ellen. G'day,
Zach,
I'm Ellen.
Go outside.
Go outside. What do you see out there? Oh, my God, it's Toyota Corolla. Go inside the Corolla. What do you see? And it just gets more and more ridiculous as it goes by. And I could see that working on stage as well.
Yes. So a lot of that stuff has been tested out. But it's so much – it's not impenetrable to our friends overseas.
No.
But so many of the references in it are really deep cut Australian things that are great. At one point they're playing for a prize pack which consists of 4 and 20 pies.
Yep.
Which apparently they had to get specially shipped to LA frozen and
that's
sent.
That's ridiculous.
They refer to like Crazy John's mobile warehouse, which has been out of business for a good 15 years or something.
Grant Denyer.
Grant Denyer gets a lot of play. Hoodoo Gurus.
Mm.
This just, yeah, it's a lot of really, really specific late 80s, early 90s humor.
It's the kind of thing that whoever is behind that Brash's Twitter account is on board with. Yeah.
Yep. It is just lovely. There's a lot of great celebrities in there. The boys are huge fans of the show.
You know, it took me a while. I was like, who is that?
Yep.
Wait, who is that?
Yep. So Homelander's in there. And
I was going to say doing his accent, but he's not. He's doing an Australian accent, but you can't really.
Well, he's doing his natural Kiwi.
But it sounded Aussie to me.
He might have been putting on
an Aussie accent. And if there's anybody who's going to be able to do an Aussie accent without anybody realising, it's a Kiwi, yeah.
And Dennis Quaid's son is in as well.
That's right. Yeah, there's okay, so you were like, I don't know how they've done this. And it's true, I don't know how they've managed to make it in America without having the Australian-ness washed out of it.
Yeah, like that, it's insane just how Aussie it is.
Mm.
There's a whole – one of the characters reacts really badly anytime someone calls him any names or something like that. And at one point they think he's out of the room and one of them says, he's such a silly sausage. And it turns into this whole thing of – but that's such an Australian saying. Oh, you silly sausage.
So much sausage. So that, like, I wouldn't have even thought it was an Australian thing until you're right. There's no reason why anybody else would say that.
So in Australia, we deal with tall poppy syndrome. If someone gets too big, we cut them down. But we also have cultural cringe.
I feel like it's not as bad as it used to be.
I don't think it is. But it in terms of cultural cringe, it sucks that these guys had to go overseas to make this show. And I've heard them talk about in an interview and basically any time that they pitched this to Australian people, they got told to fuck off in just as many words. And it makes sense. You do it in America.
Yeah.
There's a massive 360 whatever million people. Sure. All you need is 1 million of those people to really like your weird niche thing. Where Australia, we have 26 million. So that means suddenly you've got a quarter of a million.
Yeah.
So it doesn't.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Boy, I hope they get to make more.
Me too. I thought it was refreshing. It was fun. I sat there and laughed without looking at my phone, which is a thing.
Yep.
Great show. So you're about to finish your third watch through.
Yep.
Are you going to give it a rest and then?
Probably not.
Just keep going.
Yep. There's just still stuff to unpack.
I love that you do that because that is me back in my peak French and Saunders. Because their skits weren't as absurdist, but there was so much in the writing that you miss it.
Look, I've been craving a show that reminds me of Nathan For You, which is a show that on the surface is simple, but if you actually dig in, as you're talking about the writing, you realize just how many layers of what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's what this thing is. When you initially watch it, you're like, wow, this is some silly shit. But you go back in and there's jokes that don't pay off for episodes. There's jokes that don't pay off at all. There's jokes that are a payoff to a setup that wasn't actually done. That might have actually just paid off a joke from their podcast 6 years ago.
And to be able to do that.
Oh, man. There's a lot of freedom there. The fact that they've got these guys that aren't on screen, that aren't the writers, that help control it, means they've got such a continuity check. Everything seems like it's throwaway, but it just comes back.
Yeah, it's a very good show.
Great job from Egg Helms.
That was brilliant. First episode? Yeah, very early on in.
More ticklish than Elmo. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I don't think we need to talk about The Walking Dead, but I did want to just point out, have you watched The World Beyond this week?
I watched both. For some reason, World Beyond dropped early on Amazon Prime this week, so it was there on like Saturday.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I watched it so last
I've,
night.
I've
so
already
should.
Known about that disappointing turn of events.
Very disappointing. I know.
Finally got someone I was on. Yep, here we go. There's the character I can hang my hat on and follow.
We're not allowed to. Apparently we're not allowed to enjoy things. So the bit I wanted to point out was the call to what Robert Kirkman said about how, jokingly I think in a tweet ages ago, he was like, oh yeah, the zombie virus came from spores in space. I'm never going to put it in any of the shows then. Quick throwaway line from a flashback to something a soldier heard is in there now, and it made the internet go crazy.
Yep. Silly internet.
I follow Kristen Acuna, who is the Walking Dead specialist on Insider, the website Insider, and she was like, guys, you just got to calm down.
Yeah. It's just a speculation from a soldier.
They're trolling you. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. The fear episode was really good too.
Yeah, I was very happy to see Sarah Mo Collins from Parks and Recreation. I still see her every time.
I got a bit confused at the beginning of that episode
as to whether that was her.
Yeah, I was like, hang on a second. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting
choice.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was great to see that it wasn't and that the episode continued. I still like Fear more than World Beyond, but I think World Beyond is good for that round lore.
Yeah.
Catching.
And they got three more episodes and then another season of the 10 and then it's done. That's cool.
Yeah.
Look, it's better now than it was at the beginning.
Oh, for sure.
I found it painful when it was teenage angst stuff. It's still teenage angst stuff, but for a brief moment we had Scott Adsit.
I know.
Let's all remember that, Tony and his amazing card tricks. Here's my question. Mm. Did Scott Adsit learn how to do those for the show or did he already know how to do those?
We should ask him.
Because the stuff that he showed, it was very clean, but it is quite simple. So that is very easy. That is a lot more difficult.
So the card, it wasn't the card.
Card was the disappearing and then he levitated a matchstick.
That's right. Yeah.
It's when you know how that's, I'm not going to say, but when you know how that's done, it's quite easy to do. But the technique he was showing was very, the word, magicians use the word clean.
Mm-hmm.
Is when something's good, but you don't want to reveal.
Yeah,
you know how it was good, and I really enjoyed seeing some magic on the Walking Dead, and I wish there was more of it. And I can't believe he didn't get to throw a card at a zombie or like Gambit. Yes. You know what I mean? How do you have someone with magic skills and he doesn't defeat a zombie by throwing dice or using a smoke bomb and disappearing?
Out of the two new characters, he's definitely the one that I was more interested in. The other one I've got no time for.
They didn't even get, like...
He's a storyline prop, the other one.
Yeah. I just wanted a moment where, as a magician, he got to cut a zombie in half.
That would have been awesome.
And, like, got to turn it, ta-da.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that.
Wasted. Mm. Totally wasted. Yeah. Mandalorian, again, this week. Really enjoyed it. We got to see a few different sorts of Mandalorians who potentially are who come from a very different mindset.
There are a couple of Mandos that we know a whole lot better than we know Mando. We had seen plenty of them across Rebels and Clone Wars or Clones.
And there was a lot of hype in the lead up to this season of being able to see them.
Well, Katie Sackhoff has played that character in animation for many years, so seeing her make the jump over was pretty cool. Keep it as is. She wants the Darksaber back, man.
Yeah.
Giving out.
She should get it.
Giving out a knife.
Rightfully hers. What I enjoy now is that there's now, off the top of my head, I think three different planets where Mando can drop the kid off for free babysitting.
Sure.
Three, I think.
What a network. Yeah. I like that they redeemed the child a little bit at the end there by showing that he can play nice with his food.
That's right. It's funny. Jasper was right last week. It's a very satisfying sound of him eating the eggs. Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
It's still a great season.
Agreed.
They're doing really well, and I have a feeling the next couple of episodes we're going to start seeing things that were introduced at the very beginning of the season and also some more things coming back from season one.
I agree. I think the people that have grumbled that too much side missions are about to get shut up. I think this episode showed that they're going to lean really heavily into some stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. There's actually really good stuff to watch at the moment, it's enjoyable. I'm enjoying being able to grab some time at home and just watching stuff.
I'm excited for Flash to come back. I wish Arrow was still around, but it's ended. I want Legends of Tomorrow, and I need a few of those dramas. I say drama, but
it's
narrative.
You need your
stuff.
Hour-long episodes.
Yeah, yeah. I need a bit of that back because I've been too much of the reality shows.
Yeah, you've got to even it out. It's like books; you've got to even it all out.
I have four different zoo documentary shows on the go at the moment. They're all hour-longs.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
yeah. It'd be better if they were evened out throughout the year.
Oh, no, it'd be better if there's four of them all year
okay,
long.
Okay, right. Okay, fair enough.
But I would rather have in addition to rather than.
Yeah, you'd rather than the rather than.
Yeah.
Now they don't sound like words.
Dan rather.
Okay, we'd all rather Dan rather. Quiz time?
Yes, please.
Who's taller?
What?
Yep, we're going to pick two people
okay.
of a famous nature, and yep. you got to tell me which of the two is taller.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What a 156th episode celebration quiz.
Really don't know where it came from. I was staring at the internet and then I went, we'll do that one.
I like it.
Charlize Theron or Nicole Kidman?
I'm going to say Charlize Theron.
Nicole Kidman.
Really?
By 3 centimetres. She's 180 to Charlize's 177.
Well, there you go.
Very close.
I thought Furiosa was a big one, but Tom Hardy's not that big.
Isn't he?
Maybe not.
He's not in the quiz, so we will never find
out.
We'll
never know.
There's no way of finding out. I watched an episode of a show I'm going to talk about next week because I'm finished the season, and it made me think about Tina Fey because she was in it. So Tina Fey or Amy Poehler? Oh, I got emotional then. Tina Fey or Amy Poehler?
Tina Fey's got to be taller. Amy Poehler is pocket size.
She's very short, isn't she? Yeah.
I don't think I've
not seen, that short, but short.
Not that short, but you don't. She even as Leslie, she's got a slight hunch.
Yep, agreed. So Tina is 164 centimetres. Mm-hmm. Amy Poehler is 157. Sorry for people in the US. You're going to have to Google translate into inches or feet because I'm not doing it.
Did you say 157?
Yep, for Amy.
So that's going to be... I don't know.
It's just that
4'11"? No, that can't
no,
be.
No, right. She'd be 5 something, right? All right. All right, people from America.
5'3", maybe.
157 centimeters into
five
feet.
5'2"?
5'18", so 5'2".
Okay.
Yeah. And we can use these measurements to then go into Madonna or Lady Gaga.
I'm going to say Madonna.
Yep, Madonna. She is the same height as Tina.
Sure. Isn't Stephanie quite tall? Short.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's shorter than Amy by 2 centimetres, 1.55. That makes her 5'1", right? She'd still be five. How?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this
or maybe almost five.
3 centimetres in an inch or something?
We'll never know. There's we'll no way know. Of finding out. Hayden Christensen or James Earl Jones?
Wow.
Because they're both Darth Vader.
They are. I definitely see the correlation. I think it's Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. Yeah. Wrong. No,
really?
James Earl Jones is 187 centimetres to Hayden's 183.
There's only four
between them. But.
Sure.
That's what, 2 inches?
Infinitesimal.
No, I can't remember. Let's go for some Netflix people.
Yes.
Ellen Page or Millie Bobby Brown?
I'm going to say Millie Bobby Brown only because Ellen Page has peaked height already.
I think Ellen's actually at the shortest height with Lady Gaga. She's 155 and Millie Bobby is almost up to your Tinas and your Madonnas at 163. She'll surpass them.
Hmm.
How old would she be? 16? Maybe 17?
I don't think she's even that old.
She's finished.
I don't know.
She may have stopped growing. I don't know.
Isn't she only like 14?
How old is, what's her name? Millie Bobby Brown.
Okay, I'll say 15.
I'm going to say she's 17 age.
I think she blew up when she was 11 and Stranger Things is only 4 years old.
You said 15?
Yeah.
I said 17?
Yeah.
She's 16.
Ugh.
2004.
This is the sort of time that it'd be awesome if we had a champ third chair. If we could have set a different value.
Unfortunately, there's no champ in the room.
No, champless.
So sad. Final one. Going zombies. Andrew Lincoln or Simon Pegg?
Andrew Lincoln.
They're the same height.
Really?
See, I would have guessed Simon Pegg because I know that Andrew Lincoln's short, but they're both short. 178. Well, it's not that short.
That's not that short. That's all right.
178.
Just under 6 foot.
Both taller than me.
I was going to say, I felt this quiz was slightly heightest in that it was very dependent on
who's the
shortest.
Who's the shortest?
Who's tiny? If you were to go the other direction, there were some questions in there of, you know, who's bigger, Andre the Giant or The Big Show?
You've made me think about one for later. It can't be next week, though. Oh, it could be.
Maybe we could have a time machine and we could go back to the early 90s and do a quiz of who's the fattest.
Yeah, we can't do that
now. Can't do that now.
That's not possible. That's not allowed.
Who's got the craziest aunt?
Well, I'm thinking about Aunt Jackie.
I'm thinking about Sabrina.
Oh, yeah. It's the one who was played by the Canadian, right?
Yeah. The one who got a talk show afterwards.
That's right. She did too. Carolyn? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
How did I pick that name?
I don't know. Didn't we just fall down a fucking rabbit hole?
Holy dooly. Odd. All right, it's really time for us to stop recording. Well done to us. 3 whole years, but technically a bit more, of We Are the Watchers. High five. We got some big stuff coming up in the next month and a bit.
We do. Strap in, like, everyone.
So much so that we're putting it off.
Where we're going, we do need roads.
Yeah, we do. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
That was a party sound.
It's funny because you did like the cracker sound, but the sound was the... Yeah. So you were doing both at once. It's very clever.
Thanks. It was... Part of it was for your pleasure.
Thanks.
Just for you.
Very much amused.